Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Colley.
It occurs to me this afternoon as we start this sermon that I really like the company I'm in today. This is a unique time to have our service. And I think when you do that, sometimes people don't come because it's just different. But of course, you're aware of the fact that we can meet any time on the Lord's Day, and we've set it for 1:30 today, and here you are. And I'm glad to see you. We have a good crowd. We have a lot of folks still who are visiting us and visiting family, and we're so happy that you've come to be part of this special afternoon service. There's an irony that exists during this holiday season. There are two different responses, I guess, to the fact that there's happiness all around us during this time of year. And on one side, it amplifies our happiness. There's happiness around us, and so we want to be happy and part of it too. But this sermon is about the fact that there's another side to that coin, and for those who are sad this time of year, the happiness that lives in this system, this season, has a way of amplifying that sadness. I read an interesting statistic the other day that said suicides spike during this time of year. Now that doesn't seem reasonable, does it? Well, everybody knows you should be happy at this time of year. Yes, but when it's like that and you're really not happy, things get pretty hard. And even in this church, we have people who have faced some serious struggles recently. We have in this room those who have lost loved ones only very recently. One man said to me this morning, "You know, Christmas is going to be real hard this year because he's lost someone very precious to him." We have those who in this church have tasted the bitter cup of divorce and are still reeling from it. Makes this time of year pretty hard. Those who have faced loss of position, loss of job, or maybe those who have other problems in their families. I know of a number of them, problems in extended families, things that I don't know how we're ever going to fix. Maybe problems with teenagers gone the wrong way. The people for whom this time of year is very, very difficult. This sermon is for all of us because I want to encourage us to help others when we can and to be sensitive to the difficulties which people face. We need to be there to help them in every way. We can't fix the problems often, but we could at least encourage and try to help them. And furthermore, I need the encouragement of these points. Here's what we have to offer to encourage those for whom this season is not so very pleasant. Number one, I want to encourage you to lean on God. Lean on God. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, Paul writes about this. Listen to what he has to say. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. "Be careful or stressed out for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's an Old Testament principle as well as the New. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, "It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps." I've got to lean on God. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Psalms are by and large written by David in a time of struggle with his enemies? You can just about randomly open up the book of Psalms and just pick one out at random and find this to be true. Where David is reaching out and leaning on God with his struggles. Here's Psalm 31, for example. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for Thou art my strength. Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. You get it? You lean on the Lord. We talk about leaning on the Lord. And when we face life's most bitter enigmas, most difficult struggles, we've got to do just that. And that we lay our petitions before His throne, and that we talk to our Lord about this and lean on Him and lean on our faith. And 1 Peter 5 and 8, we cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. May I suggest, if you're one of these people we're talking about today, that you pour yourself into the work of the church. You see, there's a secret here. Happiness comes in serving others. Let me get involved in helping other people because that's where I'll find contentment. Let me cultivate my friendships in the family of the church. Let me draw close to them because that's where my strength is. Number one, lean on the Lord. Number two, make sure that you don't allow yourself to fall into self-pity. It's mighty easy to do, you know. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 was faced with what he called a thorn in the flesh. Now, he prayed to God about this to have it removed, and you'd think that the Apostle Paul, he could perform miracles. He was an apostle. You think of all, well, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You'd think surely the Lord would remove this thorn from him, this problem from him, but he didn't. Here's what happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Paul wrote, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." In other words, I'm an apostle. I give these revelations. I have all of these things I do for the Lord. "There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh." I don't know what the thorn was. We're not told. But some struggle he faces in his life. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I will not allow myself to wallow in self-pity. I can't let that happen. I've got to grow past that. I lean on the Lord. I won't allow myself to find self-pity. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape." Number three, I will remember to be thankful. I'll remember to be thankful. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a direct correlation between happiness and thankfulness. Never forget it. I'll remember to be thankful. I'm thankful for my memories. You know what? I have such wonderful memories that I can pull out of my childhood. I suppose I have unhappy ones too. I don't try to pull those out, but anywhere I am, I've been on the other side of the globe, missing my family, wishing I was back with them. But I've got the ability to see them in my mind. I think about my papa and my granny, and I think about my grandparents on both sides. They're long gone now. But anytime I want, I can go back to my childhood and I can walk through those old houses and I can see them. If I use my imagination, I can just about smell the smells of those old houses. I can hear their voices. Well, I'm so thankful for my memory. It's not uncommon for people, and perhaps you, who lose loved ones, and they'll have dreams for some time thereafter, sometimes a long time thereafter. They'll have a dream and they're with that loved one again, hearing his voice, being with him. Aren't you thankful for memories? Luke chapter 16 evidences that I'll be able to have my memories after this life is over. It'll be a torment to those who are lost, of course, but to those of us who are saved, the good memories surely will be wonderful. I'm thankful. I've got things to be thankful for this season. I'm thankful for my memories. I'm thankful for other people's good fortune and happiness. You know, just because I don't have the things others have doesn't mean I can't rejoice with them. Romans 12 and verse 15 says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep." It may be easier sometimes to do that weeping part than it is the rejoicing part. I'm going to be thankful. I'm thankful for the happiness you have. And I share in that joy. I rejoice with you over that. Rob and Mallory Baker live in Montgomery, faithful Christians. They have a little girl named Emma. Emma is 3 this year, and she has found a baby doll that she really wants to have and expects. And so they're in the store. She and her mama and Emma will go over and kiss that doll. And the other day, Mama overheard Emma talking to that doll, and she said, "You're still in the store, but I'm your mama." And when they left the store, Emma waved at that baby doll and said, "See you soon." Now, see, my children are not little anymore. There was a time when I enjoyed those kinds of things, and it was wonderful. My children are not little, but I'm going to tell you something. I rejoice in their children. I rejoice in their family. I rejoice that they're enjoying those things. And they don't mind the fight. It doesn't diminish from their joy for me to share it, does it? And I enjoy your family. I enjoy your children. They're wonderful. I can be thankful for the blessings. If I've lost my spouse, I can be thankful that you still have yours. I can enjoy seeing the happiness in your eyes, enjoying each other. Just because I don't have something doesn't mean... Well, you know, in Romans 1 and 29, the Bible lists being full of envy in the same category with awful sins, like murder and fornication and terrible list of sins there that the Gentiles in which they participated, and it includes being full of envy. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that. Instead, I want to rejoice in what you have. I can rejoice and enjoy the blessings that you have, even if I no longer enjoy them personally. I want to be thankful at this time of year. I'm thankful that I don't have the problems that some others have. Let me tell you, you know this is true. No matter how difficult life becomes, there are people around you who suffer more hardships than you do. In a few minutes when this service is over, I'm going to get in my truck out there and I'm going to the hospital. There's a family there from Manchester, Tennessee, and their son has had a four-wheeler accident and he's in NICU. You know what? I may say, well, I've got struggles this year. It's going to be a difficult year. Yeah, but I don't have a son over there. You see what I'm saying? I'm not facing that kind of struggle right now. I have so much to be thankful for. Number one, I'm going to lean on the Lord. I'm a Christian after all, and I ought to act like it. Number two, I'm not going to allow myself to wallow in self-pity. That won't accomplish anything. It'll only hurt me. Number three, I'm going to remember to be thankful because thankfulness and happiness are directly connected. And number four, I'm going to remember that contentment isn't the exclusive property of those who are blessed in their circumstances. My contentment will not hinge on whether or not I have pleasant circumstances always around me. You know, that'd be a terrible thing. If I'm only content, if I only have this inner happiness when everything's going my way, then my happiness is going to really fluctuate dramatically. I don't want to be like that. Do you remember what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4? I want to read to you, beginning in verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. This will be familiar to you. Let's drop down to 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul said this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Now watch verse 13, because this is the key, and if you don't need it today, you're going to need it one day. We all will. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You say, how can you maintain a contentment even in times of struggle? Because of Christ. My faith means something. It's not. I'm a part of the body of Christ. It's not a social club thing with me. It's a real thing. I have faith in Christ Jesus. I live my life as a Christian. And when times get hard, that's when my Christianity must really show. Contentment in Christ doesn't fluctuate with the conditions around me. I know how to abound and I know how to suffer need. But I'm going to be content because I'm in the Lord. Here's the fifth and final one. I'm going to remember that I've got a purpose in life. I've got to remember that I'm here for a reason. Now of course, this is in two senses. There's the broad sense in which all of us have a purpose in life to go to heaven, to glorify our Lord with our lives, and ultimately to go to heaven. So Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and about verse 13, he said, "I count not myself to have apprehended." I'm not finished yet. "But this much I do, forgetting the things which are behind." And Paul, now wait a minute. You got a lot to forget back there. That's right. But I can't hold on to those things. I've got to go forward. "Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Look, you have a purpose. And that purpose is glorifying God with your life and going to heaven when you die. But you've got another purpose too. Follow me on this. I believe that God has individual purposes for us too. Not just the broad purpose, which is to glorify God and go to heaven, but individual purposes. I say that because you and I, all of us have God-given abilities that other people don't have. You have talents and abilities which are characteristic of you that are not characteristic of everybody. And where'd you get them? God gave them to me. God gave me these talents, whatever they happen to be. And we're all very diverse in that. I submit to you that that implies that God has a special purpose for your life. What did He give you? And how are you using that? I can never give up on the fact that I've got a purpose in life. I'm here for a reason. God expects something of me. What is that purpose? Well, find out what skill, what talent He gave you, and then you'll know the answer to your question. Use what you've got to His glory. Because you've got a purpose. It's really ironic that the joy of the season in which we are now involved amplifies the joy in some people and amplifies the grief in others. We understand that life can be very difficult. And for some people today, it is very difficult. But we're Christians. We're not in this just by ourselves, you know. We're in a family. And I'm thankful for that. God could have put us as Christians isolated, living through this life by ourselves. But He didn't. He put us in a group, called it the church. We've got a family. People who love God, people who love us. Thank God for that. It's a way by which, even in the difficult times of life, I can say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He will keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I wonder if there's someone here who wants to become a Christian. God's been so very good to us, and even in the times of struggle, it is still true, you know, that God's good to us. And maybe you've made up your mind that you want to obey the gospel. Repent of your sins and confess His name today, and you can be immersed for the remission of your sins. If you are here and you need the prayers of the Christians, you know that we're here for you, and we'll pray with you right now. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Would you like to respond? Come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.